Live Flesh, written by Ruth Rendell and read by Ian Holm.
Chapter 1. The gun was a replica. Spencer told Fleetwood he was 99% sure of that. Fleetwood knew what that meant, that he was really about 49% sure, but he didn't attach much weight to what Spencer said anyway. For his own part, he didn't believe the gun was real. Rapists don't have real guns. A replica does just as well as a means of frightening. The window that the girl had broken was a square, empty hole. Once since Fleetwood arrived had the man with the gun appeared at it. He had come in answer to Fleetwood's summons, but had said nothing, only standing there for perhaps 30 seconds, holding the gun in both hands. He was young, about Fleetwood's own age, with long, dark hair, really long, down on his shoulders, as was the prevailing fashion. He wore dark glasses. For half a minute he stood there, and then he turned abruptly round and disappeared into the shadows of the room. The girl Fleetwood hadn't seen, and for all he knew she might be dead. He sat on a garden wall on the opposite side of the street, looking up at the house. His own car and the police van were parked at the curb. Two of the uniformed men had succeeded in clearing away the crowd which had gathered and keeping it back with an improvised barrier. Even though it had now begun to rain, dispersing the crowd altogether would have been an impossible task. Front doors stood open all the way down the street, with women on the doorsteps waiting for something to happen. It was one of them who, hearing the window break and the girl scream, had dialed 999. A district that was neither Kensal Rise, nor West Kilburn, nor Brondesbury. A blurred area, on the borders of nowhere in particular. Fleetwood had never really been there before, had only driven through. The street was called Solent Gardens, long and straight and flat, with terraces of two-story houses facing one another, some Victorian, some much later, from the 1920s and 30s. The house with the broken window, number 62 Solent Gardens, was one of these newer houses, the end of a terrace of 8, red brick and pebble dashing, red pantiles on the roof, black and white paintwork, a pale blue front door. All the houses had gardens at the back and gardens at the front, with lonicera or privet hedges and bits of lawn, and most of them had low brick or stone walls in front of the hedges. Fleetwood, sitting on a wall in the rain, began to wonder what he should do next. None of the rapist's victims had mentioned a gun, so it would seem as if the replica had been recently acquired. Two of them, there had been five, or at any rate five who had come forward, had been able to describe him. Tall, slim, 27 or 28, olive skin, dark, longish hair, dark eyes and very black eyebrows. A foreigner? Oriental, Greek, perhaps? But perhaps just an Englishman with dark-skinned forebears. One of the girls had been badly hurt, for she had fought him, but he had used no weapon on her, only his hands. Fleetwood got up and walked up to the front door of number 63 opposite to have another talk with Mrs. Stead, who had called the police. Mrs. Stead had fetched out a kitchen stool to sit on and put on her winter coat. She had already told him that the girl's name was Rosemary Stanley and that she lived with her parents, but they were away. It had been at 8:05 in the morning, 1.5 hours ago, when Rosemary Stanley had broken the window and screamed. Fleetwood asked if Mrs. Stead had seen her.
"We dragged her away before I got the chance."
"We can't know that," Fleetwood said. "I suppose she goes out to work, I mean, when things are normal."
"Yes, but she never leaves the house before 9. 10 past as often as not. I can tell you what happened. I've worked it all out. He rang the doorbell and she went down in her nightie to answer it, and he said he'd come to read the electric meter. They're due for this quarter, you know that. And she took him upstairs and, well, he had a go at her. But in the nick of time, she bashed the window out and uttered her desperate cry for help. That's the way it's got to be."